Gonna have a talk.
Hello again. And can you hear me well enough through the mask? Well enough. I'll bring this a little bit closer. We grew during the last meditation, and we have Jessica Wong and her friend here, which is really a treat. So I'll just show you for a second, then you won't see them. Whoops. Jessica has been a member of this Sangha for a long time, but we haven't seen her in a while, so this is a treat. And so, sort of picking up from where we went in the meditation, still thinking about Ulambana, which was yesterday, and you may have seen I wrote a little bit about it. I'm still feeling so moved by this question about how we save our ancestors, how we save anyone. So that koan, save a ghost, just seems so much to connect with Ulambana, where Mogayon, one of the two most powerful disciples of the Buddha, who had the greatest skill and accomplishments of meditative powers, when he went to try to save his mother, he went to try to thank his mother and found her in the realm of hungry ghosts in the deepest hell. Couldn't feed her. Even Indra couldn't help him. Nothing worked. And so he went crying back to the Buddha, who said, "Nope, nothing that you can do will do it. Even none of the gods could do it. It will take the awesome power of the assembled sanghas." So here's what you do. You gather everyone together. You gather all the goods that are needed to support life, the bounty of it, the best of it. And you have a feast and you give away all those things that are needed to those who need them. That's what you need to do. And the minute he said those words, not only Mogayon's mother, but all of the ancestors of those who were there were liberated, and there was a festival and dancing and singing. And I brought this in on Saturday morning, and what was striking me then was how much Mogayon himself needed liberating from the idea that he himself could do anything with all of his awesome powers. He alone couldn't do very much. It needed the awesome power of the gathered all of us together. And so that response that was made once to save a ghost, how do you save all the beings of the world that which we vow to do? We include them. And we include them in the project, in the great project of living. That's one way we include them. And then, which means really not rejecting any offering, doesn't it? Not rejecting the offering that this day brings, even not rejecting our own confusion in this day. You know me, not rejecting the chaos of deciding to drive to Nova Scotia or not. Am I ready today? Can I be ready tomorrow? Clearly, I wasn't ready today. I'm still here. But not rejecting even that, not rejecting those parts of ourselves that might be unappreciated by us. How do we save all the beings? We include them, including my delusions. John Tarrant said this thing I loved, which is, through the activity of your delusions, you begin to awaken. Through the activity of your delusions, you begin to awaken. and I hope you can see how that also connects with our con about calling to yourself in the morning, yeah? Empty one. Beautifully empty, empty enough to hold everything. Exactly. Awake, always awake. Exactly. Even in my delusions, awakening constantly. Not excluding any of it. It's all the material of my awakeness. Sleepy awakeness, distressed awakeness, easy awakeness. And our dreams are also part of this. So John recounted the story of a friend of his who was ill with cancer and who dreamed that he was in a field with his mother. And his mother was saying, "Oh, look at the suches." And he says in his dream, "What?" And she says, "Oh, the such is life's." So this awake, always awake, just felt so much connected to me with this dream of a life in which we can look at all the such is life's. With kindness and appreciation. All the such is life's. I don't know. Can I get to Nova Scotia safely? I don't know. I'll buy a couple of COVID tests to take with me on the road. Like a little magical amulet. I don't know. All the such is life's. And so this, we include them. This week has a particular gravity to it. There's been so much to include. And that calls up for me the other sense in which we can understand that sentence, we include them. Which is not so much to say we try to include them, as it is to say we already include them. They are already us. All the such is lives and the little and the suches. And that includes, there were a couple of poems, one of which I may have read to you before, that's okay, that felt to me like they spoke of this. And then also, which comes first? I think these poems do. Well, actually, before that, I want to read to you a little bit from this wonderful book, And There Was Light, which is an autobiographical book, a memoir, really, by a fellow named Jacques Lucéran, a Frenchman, who became blind, I think, when he was 8. And and whose mother supported him in his desire not to use any of the usual kinds of props, the blind people props, the things that you use to get along, but really to trust that he could find his way. And he did, and he would ride his bicycle through the countryside. He wrote about what those experiences were like, and later he became an invaluable part of the French resistance, because when they were screening people who wanted to join the movement, he could tell if the person was a plant. So his powers of observation were very keen. So he wrote this bit. I really recommend this whole book. And I was wanting to find one passage, particular passage, but when I opened it, I just found a different one. He says, after all, I know many blind people who are able to reopen within themselves avenues which have been closed to them in the world outside. Otherwise, how can one account for the fact that they can travel alone around a city they don't know well, and more often without losing their way than people who see? After all, isn't it true that the realities of the inner life seem like marvels only because we live so far away from them? So he's talking about he says, whether deliberately or not, blindness is not well received in the world of people who see. It is so little known and often so dreaded. For that reason, blindness always starts out with isolation. I have known solitude, known it with all its demons. But it is only fair to say that along with its evil spirits, it has some that are good. So in the summer of 1933, a year after his accident, his parents took him to a place, a small French village, Givaudais. There was a river in the middle of it, wide meadows along the river. He says the stream is like an old lady who's grown smiling and discreet with age, who tolerates life around her without taking part in it. A very old village. And so at the age of 9, he says, I had a freedom there which Paris could not give me. Nothing was unfriendly. The boat builders saw, announced that I had left the river behind me. The blacksmith's hammer cut the straight line between the river and the church in half. The sound of lowing told me I had arrived at the gate of the great meadow where the cows gathered to watch the people passing by. So there's a lot more there, but can you feel that feeling of the experience of including everything? And that sense that including everything was essential. So I'm wondering about, noticing that my own uncertainty about traveling and that the disturbance that it causes in my heart. Is it that the world is asking me that question? Can you include us? And so just to finish with, in a maybe slightly lighter way, there's this poem by Billy Collins, Life Expectancy. Which seemed to me also to say something about how we include them. On the morning of a birthday that ended in a zero, I was looking out at the garden when it occurred to me that the robin, on her worm hunt in the dewy grass, had a good chance of outliving me, as did the worm itself, for that matter, if he managed to keep his worm head down. It was not always like this. For decades, I could assume that I would be around longer than the squirrel dashing up a tree, or the nightly raccoons in the garbage, longer than the barred owl on a branch, the ibis, the chicken, and the horse, longer than four deer in a clearing, and every creature in the zoo except the elephant and the tortoise, whose cages I would hurry past. It was just then in my calculations that the cat padded noiselessly into the room, and it seemed reasonable, given her bright eyes and glossy coat, to picture her at my funeral, dressed all in black as usual, which would nicely set off her red collar. Some of the mourners might pause in their grieving to notice, as she found a place next to the labradoodle in a section of the church reserved for their kind. So I know some of you have heard me read that recently, and that's okay. I come back to it because of the kind of the happiness of including them. So I think I'd like to stop there and see sort of where this meander has taken you in this particular time. Stay of a ghost. So along with these lighter ways of including them, perhaps they help, you know? Perhaps they help me include more of my own lost and left behind. So I'm going to open the floor, open the space, and turn the screen around so that you can see the other people in this room and they can see you. And so please, we're small enough so you can just speak up when you like.